Joining me on today's show is Dr. Bob Wild, a sports podiatrist who hosts the popular radio show, The Sports Doctor. He interviewed many well-known personalities, and welcome to the show, Dr. Bob Wild. Or Dr. Wild.
Today with you, The Sports Doctor's in. Christine, how can I help you?
Well, first I need to talk to you about your passion. When did your passion begin for sports medicine?
Well, growing up as a kid, I played sports, nothing too serious, was always a fan. You know, I grew up in New York, and I do work once a week on keeping my New York accent, even though I've been in the Chicago area for like 40-something years. And in the late 70s, I met one of the world's leading sports therapists, kinesiotherapist Bob Guida. Bob was a Mr. America, Mr. Universe, but he went on to become one of the most learned sports therapists, so athletes would come see him from everywhere to rehab their injuries, to try to become bigger, faster, stronger, whether it was the Super Bowl Bears, whether it was John McEnroe, whether it was great tennis players, Andrea Jaeger, Tracy Austin, one after the other. And he had a tremendous regard for the role of the foot in sports, Christine. Mm. And as a podiatrist, we got very, very involved in working together with many of these athletes and others over the decades. One of the culminations, for example, is in 2010 up there in your backyard, one of my young patients, Evan Lysacek, won the men's Olympic gold medal figure skating title in Vancouver. And Evan was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. So the world of sports medicine was something that was and still is very exciting. And I get to share a lot of it, as well as look into so many of the different topics in the world of sports medicine. You know, running's a big one that we talk about a lot. We've talked about it forever, kind of your backyard. So that was one of the sparks in the late 70s that really got me involved in the whole sports podiatry side.
Right. And Dr. Wild, you know, your feet are important, right? I mean, we're always on our feet, and you mentioned running, and it's vital to have proper running shoes, orthotics if you need it, right? But how do you know?
Crucial to at least pay attention to the role of the foot in sports, which is huge. Again, especially if you're going to be running, I'm putting extra stress on your feet and ankles, and whether you have flat feet, whether you have high arches, whether you're in the right shoe, whether you've got a history of problems, etc., all these things become important. I would sing to you in my New York accent, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the leg bone, connected to the backbone. You're not laughing. And that's where it's at in sports in many instances. So the paying attention to the foot, even if you're a walker, a recreational person, is very, very important, to say the least.
Right, and you want to go to a running specialty store to get your feet properly measured?
That's the GOLD program, yes. Is you can count on good education, ability to be in the right properly fit shoe. This will shock you as a runner. It shocked me as a sports podiatrist. Over 75% of athletes are probably ill-fitted.
Wow.
Really, it is a wow. And we see it all the time. Well, you know, I'm size 9, and I, you know, get them all over the internet, and, well, I don't get measured. And the width sizing, well, for your audience and runners, whatever, is foot type is inherited. So not all the time, but very often, we'll see, gee, you know, she's got bunions and hammer toes, just like her mother. Gee, you know, he's flat-footed, just like his mother and his father, et cetera, et cetera. And especially in the world of running.
Right.
So many things above that cause problems are related to the feet. And orthotics are a big weapon. If done properly, I'm prejudiced, but I've been using orthotics in the best in the world for years and years and years. And most regular people, orthotics become very helpful and a weapon in trying to prevent trouble. trying to stay away from the shin splints and the runner's knee and the plantar fasciitis and the Achilles problem. Orthotics could be a big weapon. There's no substitute for something that's custom, that's prescription for your feet. But it doesn't mean, Christine, that you can't benefit from over-the-counter supports, insoles that can be helpful, but they're not a prescription which might be ideal.
Right, and listen to your feet. Basically, if it's telling you something, then, you know, see somebody. But also, too, it's really important to have running shoes for your running activity, right? And tennis for, you know, proper shoe for tennis. You don't,
yes, great point. I think you should be in a shoe that's designed for the sport. The example you just used, running shoes are made for one foot in front of the other.
Right.
They're not made for side to side. So I wouldn't be playing basketball or tennis in running shoes. That's not that you can't get away with it, but you're much more susceptible to an ankle sprain or an ankle turn, and you want to be, again, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's tennis, again, you want to be in a shoe that is of some name brand, and that you fit for properly, that goes along with it. And by the way, every one of you out there should include some strengthening for your feet and ankles if you want to be a runner, and some balance exercise, like balancing on tilt boards, standing on the Bosu, which works all the running muscles from the low back down, all these stabilizer muscles. I'm still, you know, trying to get people to do foot and ankle strengthening routinely, especially runners.
Right, that's good information. I mean, can someone find that information online, or would it be best to see
Yes, you can. You can find all sorts of information online regarding, you know, foot ankle exercise. You can see a lot of that. You go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. We have, besides having all my radio shows and all my guests and all sorts of topics, we have a lot of articles on sportsdoctorradio.com. But any runner who runs seriously also should be strengthening their body routinely, core work, strength training. Years ago, it was a tough sell, Christine. Most runners felt, you know, I can't work out besides this because I'll get stiff and I'll get muscle bound, etc. It's a lot of baloney. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a weightlifter, but you definitely want to be doing some working those lower legs, working upper body, core work as a part of your running program is good sports medicine.
Right, cross training. So that's really important. And so, for
even though cross training was invented in some ways for injured runners, where they said, "What else could I possibly do to keep active? Because, you know, I've got this foot injury or ankle injury or knee injury," and they'd say, "Well, you know, you can get in the pool and swim, and you know, you could also bike." In many instances, and it didn't take long for them to come up with something competitive like a triathlon.
That's
true. And really push you. So the you know, you want to be able to do two things that everybody in your audience is interested in, Christine. One, I want to stay away from injury. I want to prevent injury. And number two, for a certain percentage, you want to enhance performance. You want to improve. You want to improve efficiency. And to say the least, being in the best shoe for you makes sense, and there is no specific best shoe. Go to a name brand, be fit properly, make sure that you're comfortable in the particular shoes, and if you are a runner, change them. It's amazing, 25 years ago we would say to everybody, you know, they'd say, how many miles can I get on a good pair of running shoes, for example? How long do they last? And they'd say, 400 or 500 miles, you just change the shoes. And here it is decades later, it's about the same, regarding the durability of shoes, so you want to pay attention. And I am not a fan, Christine, of less is better and routinely going into lighter, minimalist shoes. I've seen more trouble.
Really?
If you are a runner who's never had trouble, and you want to lighten or look at minimalist shoes, even in some situations barefoot, and you've never had problems, I'm not going to fight with you forever. But routinely, what we've seen is stay in good, substantial casual running shoes, it's a better bet than minimalist.
That's good information, but it's good idea to have, you know, maybe two or three pairs of runners. You can change, you know, it's not...
Good idea.
Yes.
Especially if you're in a climate like ours, you know, it's raining, it's wet, it's this, it's that, it's cold. Absolutely. You know, having a couple of different pairs, but to be fit for each particular one. And again, even in walking shoes, we really want to pay attention to trying to be in a real, real good shoe. It's hard to beat walking or brisk walking, which is sometimes what we do when we're backing off with runners. But all you runners have to be aware of the terrible twos, which is either doing too much, being too aggressive, or increasing too aggressively. We still look at the statistic that about 50 to 60% of active runners or joggers have trouble, foot trouble, other kinds of running-related stuff. So we still want to really be paying attention to, you know, trying to cut down on the so-called overuse injuries. When you're running, you're using the same foot strike, the same muscles, the same joints. There's a lot of sameness in running, and that's why we like exercises to strengthen us as best we can. And man, if you all do balance exercises, then you'll be listening to the sports doctor.
Yes, for sure. And you know, and as we age too, it's really important, you know, cross training.
You have a lot of great key points, Christine. I just wrote an article. The title is Aging is a Balancing Act, and I'm talking about, again, incorporating balance exercises as we age. But absolutely, if you want to be running later and later, like a lot of these people I would see at Dick Pond Shoes and whatever, where they were running for decades, were so committed to it, loved it, looked fabulous, or we're not that serious. But as we age, we have to pay attention to, you know, allowing recovery time. It's a big challenge. Intelligent rest, as I call it, and also paying attention to the cross-training ideas, the idea of doing some strength training a few days a week to make you a safer, better jogger.
Mm-hmm.
Or more competitive. I know you're competitive.
Well, I think I still am, you know, but I try to...
aren't you?
Yes, I'm still running, but I follow the hard and easy principle, and that's like recovery, run hard, and then take it easy the next day and do a bit of cross-training. So that's what I do in general.
And, you know, running hard is a high-performance activity, mm-hmm. and many times we see that it's problem-causing. So sometimes, again, we got to get individualized. Sometimes we'll see that the that method is very, very effective. But again, what we like to do is get individualized, because that's testing yourself, doing a hard, easy. But yeah, you're a high-performance athlete.
Well, I mean, I ran the Boston Marathon, as you know, and I think I'm, you know, avid competitive runner, and I just love running.
Just to get there.
Yes.
To show up at the Boston Marathon is a big deal to qualify for that.
Oh, thank you.
I agree.
Thank you for saying that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the sports doctor, and your mission and goal is to provide sports medicine information to athletes, families, and coaches, right?
I absolutely, but broader than that. We talk nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I have experts on in sports psychology and the mental side of things. I have experts in parenting, the young athlete we talk about a lot. So even though the theme of sports medicine and the theme of sports podiatry runs through the sports doctor, I really see myself as doing a unique kind of mixture of education. But absolutely, we pay big attention to you know, a lot of excitement. You know, the Olympics were just a couple of months ago, and you know, one of my past guests just a couple of weeks ago, Robert Andrews of the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, you know, worked with Simone Biles and some of the other gold medalists and champions. So there's a lot of exciting stuff, but it's broad based. But you're right on target where the sports medicine information, whether it's what's going on in the current NFL game, who was injured, to hey, let's talk about some of these different aspects of orthopedics or whatever the topic is. And people can, you know, get an example of that variety, Christine.
I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, Dr. Well, and I'd like to have you come back.
Yes, we will exchange each other's shows for sure again. Because, again, you're all about a topic that's near and dear to the sports doctor, and you're a great host. Oh. Thanks a lot. It was great being with you.
Thank you, Dr. Well.
Thank you.